Merry Christmas. It's an exciting time of year. It's a busy time of year. And I hope, actually, 1 week ago tonight, okay, we were here, or some of us were, I see some of y'all here. Those of you that weren't here a week ago tonight missed out on the Christmas play. And it was great. We had the manger over here. And we had angels and shepherds. And we heard a story that I've heard since I was one of those little sheep. You know, the ones that are down on all fours and they got the little black under them. But it was great. It was great because we were told once again the story of the birth of our Savior. So if you didn't see this one, put it on your calendar for next year. Come see, if not this Christmas story, go see one. Because today we're going to look at the Christmas story again. Because you guys know I like stories. Okay, now the story is the birth of Christ. But today as we look at that story, we're going to look at some of the characters that were portrayed in our Christmas story here. Because I love people watching. If you go to the airport, I don't like being around big crowds a whole lot. But if you are in a place where there are a lot of people, I love to sit off to the side and just watch. And it's not necessarily what people themselves are doing, but it's how they react. I mean, it's great. Some guy's walking down the hall, right, and he trips and falls. Don't watch him. Look at the people around him. Some of them are dying laughing. Others are like, oh, is he okay? Others are trying not to laugh, but they really want to. It is just fun to watch this. And it's the same thing when we come to this story, the birth of our Savior. Because people were there, real people, that were living their real lives. And it struck me the other night as I was sitting right over there watching the play that some of the actors in our play weren't that much younger than the real people that it happened to. We know that King David was just a boy and he was out with his sheep. I don't think it's too far a stretch to say that some of those shepherds in the field might have been very young men. I don't know how young. I wasn't there. So if you would, turn in your Bibles, and we're going to read both accounts because we need the details. My words are there, but we need the account as God gave it to us. And we're going to start in Luke chapter 2. Luke 2. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is the Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Then turning back to Matthew, starting in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, wanted to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means "God with us." And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this wonderful story. This demonstration of your love for us, that you would send your Son to a people like us. We ask now for wisdom as we look into your word. We pray that we would be encouraged, we would be challenged, and that we would honor you. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. So we've heard the story. The baby Jesus is born. But what about Mary? She was one of the people there, right? Mom? In Luke chapter 1, Joseph was kind of given some details, right? Mary had to hear about this. You know, moms and dads talk. You know, Mary, you're going to have a son. How do you know? Well, an angel came and talked to me. Really? An angel came and talked to me too. What'd the angel say? The angel said, you're going to have a son. You're supposed to name him Jesus. Me too. Because that's what it says over here in Luke, right? You're supposed to name him Jesus. And then turn back to the book of Luke here for a minute in chapter 2. We had these shepherds, right? And we're going to talk more about shepherds in a minute, but the shepherds received a message. Because Joseph was told he was going to be called Jesus. Luke tells us that for Mary as well, but we also have the messages that were given. He was going to save his people. The shepherds here are told, this is verse 11 of chapter 2, for today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior. One who saves. They go, they find Joseph, they find Mary. And then verse 16, it says, they came in a hurry, so they must have hustled. We'll talk more in a minute. And they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. The statement? Today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior. That struck me as interesting because, I'll be honest, if I was out there and all that happened, you know, the angel shows up, makes an announcement, the glory of the Lord is shining around them. There's an angel choir. I might want to talk about that. But they came and made known the statement. There has been born for you a Savior. That's what was important. That was the story. The story was the birth of their Savior. All who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. So I think that's where the other part came in afterward, right? Oh yeah, by the way, we got that message from an angel. And oh yeah, there was a choir. And oh yeah, the glory of the Lord was shining around us. It was so exciting. But everyone wondered at that. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. She had learned more about her son. She had learned more about her Savior. What about us? As we come on Sunday morning, as we read our Bibles, as we learn more about the Son of God, the Savior of the world, do we treasure those things in our heart? Do we ponder them? I don't know about you, but I use the word ponder sometimes and people look at me funny. But it means think about it. Do we think about it? When we drive down the road, I mean, let's face it, it doesn't take too much to drive down the road. We do it all the time. Push the gas, you turn, and you can check your brain out. Make sure you don't hit the car in front of you. Make sure you get where you're going. I tell Siri to get me where I'm supposed to go, so I turn because my brain can be so checked out that I forget where I'm going. I'm just driving. Are we pondering? Are we treasuring those things in our heart as we learn more about our Savior? And what about those shepherds? We already talked about the fact that some of them could have been relatively young men, hanging out in those fields late at night. And I know I've talked with some of you about camping out and the beauty of being away from the city lights. If you get out far enough, away from a big urban center, the stars are brighter. If there's a little bit of moon, it is so bright out there. It's just beautiful. And they didn't have city lights anywhere. And it's dark. And it's quiet. And there's an angel. Angels scare people in the Bible. When an angel shows up, they're terrified. They fall down as dead. But there's an angel. And the glory of the Lord shines around them. This is one of the things that Steve thinks about. I'm sorry you have to learn about this, but what does the glory of the Lord look like? I'm with Moses. Lord, show me your glory. What does it look like? As I look at my Bible, I see that it's a bright light some places. If I go to Ezekiel 1, I love this. Ezekiel 1, he describes the glory of the Lord as looking like a rainbow. I love a beautiful double rainbow, and it goes from horizon to horizon, and it's up there, and it's awesome, right? But picture a rainbow in the middle of the night when it's pitch black dark. Whoa. The shepherds never saw that before. And as a result, they were terribly frightened. Yeah, what's going to happen next? And they get their message, right? Today, a Savior is born. Oh, this is amazing. And then the choir breaks out. How many were there? Did the different parts stand together? I don't know, but I bet it was amazing. To have a multitude. There they are. And they're all praising God. The glory of the Lord shining. This is incredible. And then they're gone. Verse 15 says, when the angels had gone, they just left. It's dark. Got a few stars. Look at these shepherds. They began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They didn't say, let's go see what has happened. They didn't say, let's go see if it has happened.
We just had angels, glory of the Lord, announcement. You know what? Let's go see what happened. Let's go see that event. Let's go find this baby. Because we know that Savior has been born. Let's go see. Let's go see. So they came in a hurry. This wasn't, we'll get around to it. Hey, we got some sheep over here. They're about to have kids. No. They came in a hurry. They made known the statement which had been told them. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Everybody was like, wow. I mean, think about it. You're in a small town and a bunch of shepherds. Now, shepherds really weren't like your upper crust of society in those days. They weren't known for being honest. But they obviously came in raising a ruckus. And people knew. And there were somehow, whether they came with the shepherds or whether they were already there, all who heard it wondered. All who? We already talked about Mary having been there. Joseph was there. Where'd the other people come from? I think they came with the shepherds. They're like, come on, you got to see this. There's been born a Savior. Come on. You won't believe what happened. So everybody was wondering. We talked about Mary, how she treasured all these things. She pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds go back to work. Because they got a job to do. They're supposed to take care of sheep. That's why they're shepherds. They go back to work, glorifying and praising God. For all they had heard, what did they hear? Did they hear Mary's side of the story, how an angel came to her? Did they hear Joseph's side of the story, how an angel came to him? Glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. They saw the Savior, a baby laying in a manger, just as it had been told them. One of the parts, my favorite part of the whole play last week was after the shepherds came and they brought their sheep. And the shepherds came, and they knelt kind of right here, and they saw the baby. And then the narrator said, and then they returned. And I don't know if you remember what those shepherds did, but we had two little shepherds up here. They're about this tall. They grabbed their staff, and they were like this, smiling as they went. They were right on. They were right on. They nailed that part of the play. They were celebrating the fact that their Savior had been born. They saw Him just as it had been told them. So how about us? As we've come to see our Savior, are we glorifying and praising God? When we're headed someplace to worship Him and to see Him, do people just want to come with us and see what's happening? Do people wonder? Do people wonder at what we are telling them about our Savior?
Let's turn back to Matthew for just a minute. Because we have some other guys that show up in Matthew, right? We have the Magi. These Magi arrive from the east. They're probably along the lines of the men that were training Daniel and his buddies. These were men who were supposed to be wise. They were counselors to kings. They would study the stars. And it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. I love it when people ask uncomfortable questions. Think about it. Important dignitaries show up in front of the king, King Herod. Not really known to be a nice guy if you look at history books. And because they're so important, they actually get to go see the king. That tells you something about their importance. Magi arrived from the east requesting an audience with the king. Oh, come right on in. Okay, you must be somebody. Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? I'm king of the Jews. No, we came to worship him. You can hear the awkward silence that just happened, right? We're here to see the one born. We saw his star. You know, we're known for studying stars. We saw his star in the east, and we know he's here. Verse 3 says that when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. I'm supposed to be the king. Why are they looking for a baby? What's going on here? And it says, and all Jerusalem with him. So we've got this little interaction that goes on, right? Because he's like, oh, I don't know anything about this. It must have something to do with, like, those religious people. Hey, chief priest, come here. He calls those guys in. Where's this king of the Jews supposed to be born? And they find out, oh, yeah, that's right. There's a prophecy written over here. You know, and if you look back in Micah, you find out that Bethlehem is where it's supposed to happen. Okay, perfect. All right, come on back, wise guys. So they come back and, here, you go find this baby, and I really want to know where he is. I want to worship too, so come back and tell me when you find him, would you? I want to know. And they leave. And it's great. It's kind of funny almost. Verse 9. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and the star, which had been seen in the east, went on before them until it stood over the place where the child was. I'd love to know what happened there. They followed the star all the way from the east. Did the star go away for a little while? Or did they take their eyes off the star and figure, hey, we're here, we've arrived to the country, let's just go see the king, because obviously he's going to know where it is. I don't have an answer for that one. It's just a question that occurred to me as I was studying here. Why did they get sidetracked? Because the star came back after they talked to the king. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. It's like, oh, yes,
Now we know we're on the right track. I know that he told us to go to Bethlehem, but we're following the star. And coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell to the ground and worshiped. As part of their worship, they gave gold and frankincense and myrrh. They weren't earning credit. They were worshiping. If we go over a few more verses, we don't have time for it, but read it on your own. We're going to find out that they had actually seen the star about 2 years before. So they had given 2 years of their life to make this trip. They gave gold, they gave frankincense, they gave myrrh, and they worshiped. That's what they told the king they were coming to do. And it's the first thing they did when they saw the baby. They worshiped. They worshiped. What about us? Do we get excited enough and are we willing to give of our resources and our time for the sole purpose of worship? Not for anybody else. For Steve. For you. Are we ready to worship? I'd like to look at one more character here quickly. King Herod. We talked about it briefly already when we read the verses, right? When the king heard this, that they had seen his star and they had come to worship, he was troubled. I'm the king. Yeah, maybe, but no. Not really. And not only was he troubled, all Jerusalem was troubled with him. See, King Herod had the opposite reaction than the other characters that we've looked at so far. Mary was treasuring these things. The shepherds were sharing these things. The Magi, they came to worship. King Herod was troubled here. If we read a little bit more, right? He ends up killing all of the baby boys 2 years and under. He wanted nothing to do with that baby. Nothing. And that phrase, and all Jerusalem with him, kind of struck a chord with me too. Because see, all Jerusalem, they probably wouldn't have said that they wanted all those babies to die. But they really didn't want the king upset. Because see, when the king gets upset, then life gets hard for us. So it's peace at any cost. Let's just kind of let it go. Let's not rock the boat. If he's upset, that's not good. Let's calm the king down, guys. What do we have to do? That wasn't the truth, was it? The truth was, a Savior is born. Someone who is deserving of worship has stepped onto the stage to take his rightful place as Savior of the world. And it troubles you, and it should trouble you. And King, you know what? You need to get right. But they were troubled too.
What about us? Do we sometimes worry too much about troubling people? We don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. So we don't ask the uncomfortable question like the Magi did. Where is he who's born King of the Jews? We've come to worship him. You think they didn't know that he was the king? They knew. But the truth was, they knew the real king was here. Where is he? That's who we want to see. And they were willing to ask that question so they could share it. So that brings us down to the end, right? How? Because we're, if we come down to it, we, right now, are the most important characters in the Christmas story. Because all these people have lived their life. Their life on earth is over. Ours is not. So our question is, how are we going to respond to that historical event that happened a little over 2,000 years ago, the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Obviously, the first step has to come with some of the messages we heard from the angels, right? That he's going to take away the sins of his people. That he's going to be a Savior. That his reign will be forever. So where do we stand with this holy God? Because the purpose of his birth is something that we're going to celebrate here in just a couple of months. It's called Easter, right? Because he's going to die to pay the price for our sins. He's going to rise on the third day, and we're going to celebrate Easter. But he had to be born to die. So have we accepted him as our personal Savior? Once we have that part right, then we're part of the family, right? And then the questions start coming in. Are we going to be like Mary? Are we going to treasure? Are we going to be like the shepherds where we're making known? Are we going to be like the wise men who are worshiping? I pray that we would not be like King Herod, who would just flatly reject. It makes for an exciting story to look at an event and how people react. But we need to put that aside and answer the question for each one of us, right? How are we going to respond to my Savior? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have loved us enough to send your Son. We thank you for this Christmas time. We ask that you would help us represent you well in this busy season. That we would be learning more and that we would be treasuring and pondering these things. That we would be making it known. And that we would truly worship. We thank you in his name. Amen.